Well, if you'd open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want us to revisit that chapter today and look at a thing or two that we did not look when we last were in that chapter. Now, last Sunday, Donnie and I were, along with our mission team, we were in Boston at a Haitian church. And it was one of the most humbling experiences and one of the most blessed experiences. I must say, I'm glad to be here, but part of my heart still remembers what was happening there last Sunday. Now, we did the easy part. We really did. The mission team, they did the hard part, and I wanted you just very quickly to see a little thing or two on the screen. That is the mission team that was there serving. We went up with them and got in there very, very late on Saturday night because of weather, but there they are, all raring to go. And then what they did last week, if we'll show the next little slide quickly, they had basketball camps. They led vacation Bible school. Our people did some light construction and some painting. I think there's another picture of painting. It was, you know, women can paint too. Could we have an A woman for that? I mean an amen for that. People were all painting. And then put up the next, there's another picture of our people doing work in the building where we were. And then in addition to that kind of work, on Sunday night, Dottie and I led a class for men. That's my little group of men that I had. And there is Dottie. She was in another room. She's kind of up at the front, and she's not in the picture, but a tremendous gathering of women who came to that. And then last Sunday morning, I think, I preached a sermon last Sunday morning on the church, and yet at the end, I had a prayer time for the church, but I gave an opportunity for people to be saved, and 5 grown people came forward last Sunday morning. No sermon on being saved, but came and gave their heart to Jesus. I want us to give God glory for that. Now, one of the things that really spoke to my heart last Sunday morning, Dottie and I were seated on the front row before my turn to preach, and one of the things that the pastor continued to say, he moderated the service. You can drop that slide, if you will, and get us back in real life. He continued to say, and I'm just sitting there listening, about how important it was for all of the people in the church to get involved, to be a part. And he said that a multitude of ways. And I'm sitting there listening to that thinking, well, this is the very thing that I have a passion in my heart. And I shared that 2 Sunday mornings ago here, that it's so important that we all understand the importance of doing what? Of everybody being involved. Now, if you look with me in your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and look down with me in verse number 27, this is where we kind of ended 2 weeks ago today. And then I'm sitting there last Sunday. The pastor there is not using this verse, but he's saying to the people, and he had them involved in so many different ways. Last Sunday, they had a youth choir to see. And I mean, the ladies had on their heels. They had on their very Sunday best. The men were dressed in their suits, sport coats, ties. This youth choir was absolutely I don't even know how to explain it. They were fantastic. And then, I don't remember today, he was going to have maybe the women sing, and last Sunday the men, however it was, and the next Sunday they were going to have young adults sing. And what he was doing was trying to get everybody involved. Now, that's the passion there. That's the passion, my heart, and I'm believing it's becoming an expanded passion in our church. And it's what the Apostle Paul had as his passion as he wrote this letter back to the church in Corinth that he had started, had founded. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, here's what the Apostle Paul said to that church. He said, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." And if you let me read from another translation that says that so much clearer, it says, "Now all of you together." Now look at your translation, whatever it is. Now you're the body of Christ. "Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it." If somehow that can click in our church, that every member of the church is a necessary and important part of the church. Why? What God will do in and through and beyond the life of our church is absolutely unbelievable. Now, here's what I believe. My conviction. Anytime a person joins the church, be a man, woman, boy, girl, family, whatever, I believe they actually want to be involved in the life of the church at that moment. And many do that. Many others, for whatever reason, they do not do that. And then some join churches, get involved, but in a period of time, sometimes short, sometimes long, they become very uninvolved. And the question is, in my mind, my heart, how is it that everybody that joins a church, at the moment they join the church, their heart wants to be involved in the life and the ministry in some way in the life of the church? They're excited about that. Well, what is the problem? Well, I want you this morning to take your bulletin, and I want to just quickly mention some reasons that people do not get involved in the life of the church. Because God wants every member, using the gift or gifts He has given them, to be involved in exercising and using those gifts. And they will be very varied in so many different ways. Well, what are some of the problems? Well, sometimes, if you'd just fill in the little blank, there is a spiritual problem. You say, well, what is the spiritual problem? Well, several. Number one, some people who join a church have never actually been saved. We learn this repeatedly in the decision room on Sunday. And on Wednesday, people come forward and they go to the decision room. And when you begin to talk with them about their salvation experience, numbers of them will say things like, you know, I'm not certain about that. I'm not 100% about that. Other times they'll say, you know, actually, I've never actually done that. And so what happens when people come forward in a church to join the church, if nobody ever inquires about their soul, if they just say, oh, we're glad you've come, we're glad you're a member, now we want to help you find your place and serve. If they're not saved, you can mark it down. They will not, perhaps, ever get involved. And if they do, they won't stay involved because they themselves have never been saved. They've never been born again. I'll tell you another thing along those lines. It's a spiritual problem. Many people who join churches, given certain situations with unconfessed sin in their life, they begin to backslide away from God. They are saved, but they begin to get out of fellowship with God. They no longer read their Bible much, or if they ever did, their prayer time is about nil, except maybe it's a blessing for a meal. And you know, after a while, they just kind of dry up. And they dry up because of unconfessed sin in their life. Now, all of us sin, but as immediately as we realize our sin, we need to confess that sin, receive God's forgiveness of that sin, and not let Satan keep dumping guilt on us. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So whatever sins we commit, we put them under the blood of Jesus. We trust His blood to wash them away. And we do what? We accept His forgiveness. And if people can't do that, if they are not saved, if they don't have complete assurance of their salvation, they will not be involved, at least for a long haul, in the life of the church. So sometimes there's a spiritual problem. Now, sometimes, though, there is a priority problem. And I wish you'd jot this one down. This is as big as the spiritual problem. Why would people who come put their life in a church, members of a church, our church or any church, why would they not get involved and stay involved? Well, sometimes it's a spiritual problem, but sometimes there is a priority problem. You see, we have to remember, Christ He founded the church. Like, the church was Jesus' idea. Like, the disciples didn't one day say, what we need to do is we need to create a church. The disciples didn't even know what a church was. Up at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, the disciples didn't even know what the church was. They didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about. He just said, upon this rock I will build my church. It's his church. Over in the book of Colossians in chapter 1, you ought to read that chapter a little later today, about midway down to the end of that chapter. And along as you do, you see about the Bible says that Christ is head of the church. You see, you can't separate God from the church. And yet, when people's priorities are not right, and this is our struggle, you see, Jesus is very clear. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God, we all would agree, is to be the number one priority in our life. No honest Christian person would disagree with that statement. They would say, no, I agree with that statement. God is to be first. He is the number one priority in my life. But now you see, when you say that, you can't ditch the church. Christ is head of the church. you can't say God is the priority of my life and say, well, yes, and Christ is head of the church, yes, but church is not going to be a priority in my life. It's not a matter of church being a priority in my life. It's a matter of God being priority in our life. But what happens, so many other things become priority. And then we try to fit God in. I saw a marquee on a church sign yesterday. Now, I know the spirit of what this marquee says. I'm not in any way criticizing the church. I just read that. I read that two or three times. Yesterday, I read it once, and later on yesterday, I was going back down the same street, and I slowed down to read it again. And here's what the marquee says: make church part of your summer. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? Make church part of your summer. But if you think that through, the priority in that statement is summer. What that marquee really should say is, make summer part of your church. They've got it backwards. They mean it right, you know. I mean, make church part of your summer. Look, folks, summer is not the priority because summer will finally pass. Could we have an amen to that? It'll get cooler. Yeah. Well, then it'll be the fall. And then we've got the football, so that's going to be the priority. And somewhere we've got to fit church into the... See, when you talk about fitting church into something, you're talking about fitting God into something. Christ is head of the church. Christ is head of the body of Christ. But the way we live life, and we all struggle at this point, we get our priorities all out of kilter. It's very, very simple. God is priority. And if God's not priority, whether it be this or whether it be that, I mean, like today, there'll be many people who don't go anywhere to church. And sometimes we all miss church for honest, valid reasons. But like when people just continue, the church is just kind of what you do when there's not anything else to do. Well, what that really says is God's really not the priority. And so if a person, no matter they join the church, but if God is not the priority, then they're not going to get involved, be very involved, and they're not going to be involved over the long haul. Now, let me mention quickly a third reason that people do not get involved in church. And I want you to fill this one in because Paul deals with this in our scripture this morning. Sometimes there is confusion about spiritual gifts. Sometimes there is confusion about spiritual gifts. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is one of the problems taking place that Paul wrote about in his letter that we call 1 Corinthians. In fact, if you look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, now concerning spiritual gifts, because, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I love the way another translation says that. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. You see, Paul had a letter, we don't have that letter, that had been brought to him asking for help and guidance about problems back in the church in Corinth. Now, I wish we had that letter, but here's what we do have. We have the letter he wrote back. And having the letter he wrote back, we read it, and it's obvious the questions they were asking him. Obviously, they had asked him about this spiritual gift problem that they were having in the church. And the problem was this, and the specific problem was about the gift of tongues. Some in the church said they had the gift of tongues, speaking in unknown languages. The problem of that was they were more spiritual than those who didn't have the gift of tongues. Now, in our day, I mean, this is a long time ago, but in our day, that problem's still out there. Those who believe that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you speak in tongues, they would have a hard time having much fellowship with those that don't buy that. And that was the problem in the Corinthians church. They felt like they were the spiritual elite, and it was creating all kind of disunity in the church. And so Paul, he writes back to them, and we have it in this 12th chapter, Paul just said to them, look, this is not how it works. In fact, if you look in verse 11, Paul said, but one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The New Living Translation says, it is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so, you know, maybe God's given you the gift of tongues and he's not given someone else that gift. Maybe he's given you the gift of teaching or whatever it might be. Well, that doesn't mean that you're more spiritual than another person. The Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gifts and abilities as he wills to each individual believer. Every single believer has at least one spiritual gift. And that is so very important. I wish you had looked down in verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You ought to mark that verse. New Living Translation says it so easy to understand. It said a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Now, whatever translation you have, look in verse 7 again. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That is to help and strengthen the church. So when the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts, it's not for our profit. It's to use that gift for the profit of God's church. And the believers in Corinth were having a very hard time wrestling with that, and it was creating tremendous, tremendous problems for us. So I don't think that's an issue in our church. I mean, some have obvious gifts and abilities to do some things, and others gifts and abilities to do other. The problem is some belittle themselves. And I dealt with that two Sundays ago and think, you know, because I don't have this gift or this ability and I don't have this and that and yonder, that, you know, I can't really do it. Look, folks, every member is part of the body of Christ. Paul makes that so very clear. The Bible's very clear like that. And there's no Mr. and Mrs. important and Mr. and Mrs. unimportant. If you are a child of God, listen, God has given you at least one spiritual gift, probably more, and that gift you are to use to help build God's church here and beyond the walls. The church, the body of Christ, the church, not a building, it's a people. It's a ecclesia, the called out. And we're all part of that. And we maybe do it in different ways, but all of us involved, oh, the difference it makes. Now, you know, how can we get more people involved? I quickly want to deal with that. I want you to just fill these blanks. It's very simple. Number one, you appeal to the mind. You appeal to the mind. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, first of all, I'm showing you some things in the Bible this morning that would just appeal to your mind. I mean, it's very, very clear. But to put it on a very practical way, or in a very practical way, you tell people what the situation is, what the needs are. Like, for example, I'm looking at a sheet of paper. It says, Beyond These Walls Donation Proposed Schedule. And each month this year, we're going to have an emphasis to help different ministries out there that we can help. So, like, to appeal to the mind, for example, we're in July. In July, we're going to focus on Sarah's House, Crossroads, and the Bridge. And we begin saying it today. And we're encouraging all of us, and all of us can be part of this. They need school supplies. They need backpacks for children and adults. You know, homeless people, that's kind of how they care their what they own, what they have. And so many of us have backpacks laying around the house. You're going to buy kids new backpacks. Well, what about the... And then locks for lockers. And so out in the commons, as you go out there, you'll see these containers. And in this month, in fact, we will do it through the first Sunday in August because we're starting today. We're going to just gather up all this and we will distribute it to these three ministries. So what I'm saying is, We are doing what? Well, we're just appealing to the mind. Now, 2 weeks from tonight, I do hope you can be with us 2 weeks from tonight. At the end of the worship service, we're going over to Grace Center, and I'm so excited about this meeting. I wish it were tonight. I really, but we'll have it put together better than this. But we're going to give you everybody that comes to that meeting, we're going to give you sheets showing the different needs in these ministries. For example, the Bridge, it's right now, we'll make it shorter than this, but like there's 2 pages, and the Community Pregnancy Center, and Sarah's House, and Crossroads Ministry, and Pastor in the Community Ministries. And we'll just, in a very brief way, that's why we're going to print it up. The meeting won't be long, but we want to put in your hands what we're doing. We're appealing to your mind. You're going to look at this, and you're going to look down here, and you're going to think, well, I can't do that. Oh, well, wait a minute. I believe I could do that. Now, you may not want to do it, but your mind says, hey, you could do that. Oh, well, I can't do that. Oh, I could do that one. Well, that's okay. You start in the mind, and so we're going to give it to you, and then we're going to help you figure out how to take what you have a passion for to do. That is appealing to the mind. Now, the second solution to getting everybody involved, and there's a lot, let me just say this, many hours of hard work has gone into discovering these needs, defining them, refining them, putting them together, getting prepared, and I'm just very excited about all this. But you have to get everybody involved. You have to appeal to their heart. I wish you'd write that down. See, I can give out all kinds of information, but if you just have information and it never gets to your heart, well, the same folks will just keep doing more. But we don't want the same folks to do more. Folks that's doing a lot, they don't. Look, we just want everybody to do what God has gifted them to do. So here's how it works. It comes from your mind. It comes into your heart. And the way that works is you just say, I'm really willing to be a willing worker in the ways God has gifted me to be. Now, that said, I want to share with you an experience I had long ago that fits here perfectly. I've shared this, to my knowledge, one time in my 27 and a half years in this church. So, number one, many of you have never heard it. And others of you who heard it will have forgotten it. Both of my boys say, Dad, the people forget your sermons before they get to their cars on Sunday. Such encouragement, but I just press on. I remember that verse that says, be not weary in well-doing, just carry on. But let me share with you how I learned one of the greatest lessons in my life. You see, the bottom line is, so many times we try to figure out what we want to do for God instead of finding out in our mind what the needs are, and then letting the Holy Spirit speak to our heart. To me, that's what's so exciting about this meeting we're going to have. Like, we're not going to go to folks and say, hey, would you do this at the Bridge? No. Would you do this at Sarah's House? Nope, not going to do that. Would you? No. Pregnancy. We're just going to put it out there and believe if God led us to do all this And we give information that the Holy Spirit will speak to people's hearts. Now, the kind of hearts that He'll speak to are hearts who've already said, God, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do if you'll just show me what it is. And He won't show you anything to do He's not gifted you to do. Now, let me just share my little story, if I may. Back, boy, you talk about a long time ago. This experience made a profound impact on my life. Back somewhere in the mid to late 70s, I was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Lenoir City, Tennessee, and had been invited to go to Memphis, Tennessee to preach at a pastor's conference. It was like an evangelism conference. And my invitation came about a little less than a year before the actual event. And I didn't read the letter as much as I should. And I glanced at it and saw what the request was and saw who had written me. And he was a friend. He had invited me to go do that. And I just wrote back and said, that's back before you had emails. You wrote letters. And I wrote back and said, I'd be glad to come. Put it on a little calendar. Didn't think much more about it. Well, about a couple of months before it got time to go, I got my file out and looked at that letter. And it was a shocking thing. As I began to read the letter, I had accepted an invitation to go preach, listen to this, at a black pastor and wife and deacon evangelism conference. Now, I'm not anti-black, but I'm smart enough to know they know how to do church way better than we do. Could I have an amen to that? And I read the letter, and he said, what we want you to do is come stir them up. Now, the man invited me was somewhat of a friend. I called him and said, look, I want to keep my word, but I don't think I am who you need for this. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I don't think I would be able to do what you want done here. He said, look, we've already promoted this thing. You gave me your word. You'll do fine. You just come. Well, I did. I went. And it was the most amazing thing. It was a church seat about, we were in a church, but it wasn't just that church. It was all these black pastors and their wives and their deacons and their leaders had come. And, you know, the church looked like it was a seat between 400 and 500 people. I didn't count the people, but the place was packed with people. And I met this man that was the moderator of this thing. He was kind of the champion of it that was in charge. He was a tall, black, godly man with white hair. And I say this in truth. He just had the Shekinah glory all over him. He just represented God in such a marvelous way. And he gave me this sheet of paper. It was the program. And I looked at it. You talk about folks, now they don't get in a hurry to get out of church. Do you know what I mean? I looked at that program and I thought, wow, we're going to do all this. And I'm right down here. Had my name, and out beside of it said a little note to me, stir them up. That just put the fear of God all over me. Well, I'm over here in this chair, right here at this thing, and that black godly man's in that chair, and I'm here, and he's there. And like everything that would happen, he would rise. He just kind of looked like I've never seen God, but I just think he walked like God would walk. He just took these godly steps, and he would go to that pulpit, and like he just demanded attention. You've seen people like that. Just the Spirit of God's all over this man. He could just control that whole room just by looking at them. He just had them in his palm of his hand, and he would do such and such and such and such. Well, we're working our way through this program, and it's the most amazing thing. And so I'm getting really butterflies in my stomach as we're moving on down to my part. And I'm following it, and this lady was going to sing before I preached. And so we're seated, and this lady is singing, and she's just singing her rafters down. I mean, I thought, man, the people already stirred up. I was afraid I'd cool them off when I got up. I mean, these people were stirred up. And but when she finished singing, I knew it was my turn. And so she finished singing, and I was about to get out of my chair, and I noticed this man, this godly man in charge, he rose again. I looked at my program, and I thought, this is not, See, they don't worry about a program. And he made his way in that godly, I can still see that man doing this. And these people were just all over the place. I mean, they were in the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They were in the Spirit. Well, he stood there and let them come back to earth again. He never said a word. He just stared at them. And then he raised his hand. Now, I'm back over here in my chair. I'm watching this deal. I don't know what we're doing. And he bowed his head. And I thought, well, I guess we're going to pray. And I bowed my head because I want to do the right thing. And then he said, here's what he did. He said, yes, 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 yes. Well, with each one of these yeses, it got louder. And on about the third one, they joined in with him. Now, I'm back over here with my program. And I don't know what's going on. I thought, boy, you wouldn't need a choir practice for this song. Every word's just yes, yes. Well, I mean, he just got them. I mean, you talk about stirred up. But he just, his eyes were closed. He did, yes, yes, yes. And then he stopped. And here's what he said. And here's where I learned my lesson. He said, God, we've given you our answer. Tell us now, what is it you would have us do? And he just turned around and he walked back over me and he said, stir them up. I've never done it. You know, I learned something that night. That's what we need to do in our church. We just need to say to God, yes, Lord, you've heard our answer. Now tell us, what is it you would have us do? Could I have an amen to that? Amen. And folks, listen to me, folks. If I bored you telling the story, you've already heard it. That's okay. I'll never forget my night in Memphis and that black preacher and what that man taught me. Because so many times in my life, I try to kind of figure out what I want to do. In my mind, I've got, but down here. Now, I want you to bow with me this morning. And all over this room this morning, I would pray that you would pray in your heart to the heart of God. And just say to God, God, yes. Now, I've given you my answer. Tell me now, what is it you would have me do? And for some of you this morning, I'll tell you what that'll be. It'll be to be saved. Some of you this morning, you need to be saved. Others, you're not sure. Oh, listen, you can't not be sure about where you're going to spend eternity because you'll be there the rest of your life. You just got to be sure. And the good thing is you can be sure. If you're not sure this morning, or if you're sure that you're not saved, just settle that this morning. Just say to God, God, yes, I'm going to settle that this morning. I've given you my answer. Now tell me, what is it you'd have me to do? Well, if you'll ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, come into your life, make you a Christian, trust his shed blood to wash your sins away, you'll be saved. You say, well, what does he tell me to do? He tells you to confess him before men. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. This morning, I hope some of you about salvation are saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I've settled that this morning. I've been thinking about it. It's been on my mind. I want to do something about it this morning. God, here's my answer, yes. Others today, maybe your baptism. Others this morning, maybe to come put your life in the church. For many today, you say, I'm not sure what it's about. Okay, just give God a yes, and I'll tell you what. It'll move from your mind to your heart, and he'll show you. Heavenly Father, bless these blessed, sacred moments of invitation. God, I pray today all over this room, I pray heaven has heard. Yes, Lord. Now tell us, what is it you'd have us do? God, this morning, for those who have something they can do in this very service, I pray they'll be the ones to lead the way. In Jesus' name, amen.